Welcome to the Start Well podcast. I'm Dawn Thomas, your host. As a mother, financial advisor, and researcher, I know the importance of empowering young people on their financial journeys. Whether you're a parent, grandparent, or the coolest aunt or uncle, join me in exploring how impactful conversations about money can shape a young person's future. Let's harness their superpower of time and your superpower of influence to ensure they start well and continue to live well into the future. The information discussed in this podcast is general in nature and does not take into account your personal and financial objectives and situation. Before acting on any information discussed here, you should consider its appropriateness, having regard to your objectives, needs, and financial position. This episode of the Start Well podcast, we have Molly Benjamin, the author of Girls Just Want to Have Funds and also form the Ladies Finance Club. Welcome, Molly, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
And listeners, if there will be some clips of this episode, but I must say that Molly, her color scheme is amazing. It's on brand to the book. it's on brand to her background and what she's wearing. It's just so visually pleasing.
I just noticed that, actually. I match my painting.
So, Molly, you're an author. You also are a content creator. You've got amazing content on Instagram to get people engaged with finances. You are a speaker. You know, you've spoken to over 20,000 people to get them motivated about their money journey. But this started with you getting some girlfriends over, and that grew and grew. Can you tell us a bit about that journey?
Yeah, well, it actually started with me crying in a supermarket over jam because I couldn't afford jam because I'd spent all my money. And just to make things even better, I was working in a bank at the time. So crying in a supermarket, working for a bank, couldn't afford jam. It was a real low point. And I thought, I got to turn this around. And so I was like, right, I need to learn about money. And I know a lot of my girlfriends aren't very good with money either because they're lending me money, I'm lending them money. Yeah. And a lot of the women I work with at the bank, surprisingly, aren't good with money either. So if we have to learn about this, let's like all go on the journey together. So yeah, it started in my living room, five girlfriends, two bottles of Prosecco. Actually, I always say it's probably more like three bottles of Prosecco and a pizza. And I think our first ever guest was my roommate who worked in finance. Yes. And he came in and taught us about like, I think it was like savings accounts in the UK, or they're called ISAs.
Yeah.
And I had so many messages from friends being like, hey, I couldn't come to your finance night. Are you doing another one? I know nothing about money. And these are women who have great careers, earn really good money, but I was like, this is really interesting. There's something in this. So I was like, do you know what? I'm going to put on an event in London, see who wants to come. And we sold out. We had 80 women and most of them worked in financial services. And that's kind of like where it began. And we've now had around 50,000 women through our courses, programs, events. And it's just been growing ever since because I think women want this really kind of fun, accessible, social place they can actually learn about money, which isn't, I always call it male, pale, stale, and very blue.
And that's the thing. Like we see a lot of similar finance books and maybe podcasts being promoted around. And what I feel that is sad is that we're not giving enough attention to the fantastic number of Australian authors, particularly women, you know, like yourself as well, that are bringing, you know, through your lived experiences, through your friendships, you're bringing a very unique viewpoint on how to learn about money. So really, really appreciate that, Molly. Your book, just even picking it up, even before looking at the insights of it, already gave me joy because I'm a very color-orientated person. And I can't explain it, right? It's just how we made. If I see color, it just sparks something in me and you've really set the right tone for me to engage. Looking inside, it didn't disappoint, Molly. So that's why, and I also gave you that feedback that when my daughter was walking past by my stack of finance books, that's the one she went through and she touched your book and she was like, she was kind of expressing that that's where she'll go through. You said all of this was deliberate. You kind of know your audience. Why design?
I think because I was the audience, I was like, what do I want to pick up? I want to pick up something. I almost wanted to like trick people to be like, pick this book up because I want the women who will never pick up a finance book to pick up my book, because they're the ones who need it the most, because they're so disconnected from their finances. I'm like, how do we bring them in? So yeah, I think that was a real point. And just to make it a bit fun, because, like, you know, sometimes finance can be very heavy. It can bring up a lot of emotion, even though it's just a tool at the end of the day, but it has so much more meaning behind it than just like this thing we use to pay, you know, pay for stuff. So I think, yeah, that was it. If people could look at it and go, ah, this doesn't look like it's going to be a snooze fest, or it's going to like make me, you know, want to poke my eye out with a fork, then I might give it a go. And it's very much designed to be done with your girlfriends. So as well, like, I had one lady the other day, she's like, oh my God, I bought your book and now it's gone around our whole friendship group. I was like, well, that's great. Like, they could have bought one each, but no, I'm very happy that you guys have, so happy that you guys are sharing it. I'm like, that's very Ladies Finance Club approved. Yeah. Well done. But yeah, it's very much designed to like do it with your girlfriends, go off, do the actions, meet back, and actually keep each other accountable, because I think that's so important in finance, or just in life, really. We just need accountability. And I know a lot of our members, a lot of them are there for the accountability.
Yes. I think that's the thing, like, you've said girls just want to have funds, and it's not just, you know, clever replacement of words to girls just want to have fun. I think it's
not just a pun.
No, it's not just a pun. Correct. It's not just a pun. That's what I was thinking. It's like, it actually is about still having fun.
Yeah.
And you're not actually distracting people from the seriousness of why it's important to be independent. You're just taking it on a lens of, look, we're going to go on this ride. We're going to have fun on this ride. And what I've noticed as well, Molly, is that generally finance books, look, there'll be a point in the book where, okay, we're going to get to strategies and we're a little bit more serious about talking about the kind of the financial, you know, like superannuation and your tax and your investing. And for you, that entertainment never dropped, right? So even that risk profiling diagram of using shoes, I was like cracking up, because I've never seen a graph. I think if we use more graphs like that in our client meetings.
I know, right? We would definitely like take more notice if we had more shoe diagrams. I agree.
Oh man, Molly, I want to, I feel like that has almost changed my life around. Next time I go into a risk profiling meeting with my clients, I'll be like, I'm going to, you know, so that even the diagrams around that, it made sense, right? You're not just putting in, because I looked at the shoes, I just went, how does this relate to actually risk profiling, being a financial advisor? I just went, she's got a very good point about the risk versus return strategies of all these shoes, you know, because you're ending off with the stiletto that can be quite precarious if you're using it with responsibility, but the payoff could be huge.
Yeah, your legs will look amazing. Exactly. I think that's a big thing that I wanted to like kind of put through the book as well, analogies, because I used to, I worked in finance, I used to go to these events and they'd be like, the tax vehicle of this wrapper, and and I'd be like, that is so confusing, couldn't you just say it's like a chocolate box? And they're like, oh yeah, we could. Yeah, I guess so. But like, yes, that's how my brain works. And that's how I understand things. I need visuals. I need analogies. I don't understand that world of like hardcore finance.
Yeah. And what I really like again about this book is that sometimes we have books where people have already achieved a lot of financial advice, financial success, right? In a way where I feel sometimes it makes it feel like it's such an impossible gap to get there. Of course, it's inspirational because they've done it and they're showing why it is.
Yeah.
Your book is so relatable because you're saying like, look, I'm actually in this journey with you. I'm just building it and I'm exactly sharing with you everything that I'm going through now, and I'm going to be an open book. And that is refreshing, Molly, because we are so caught up with facades and looking like something as opposed to just being. Is there a freedom in that, Molly, just totally...
Yeah, because I don't have to be the expert, you know, I get to contribute, I get to speak to the experts, I get to help break down the information, but it's like that, I don't ever have to be like, well, I have all the answers and I know everything, because I'm like, I don't, God, absolutely not. And even just end of last year, you know, I bought my first property and I felt like the book was my accountability, because I'd said in the book, and I'm buying a property. And I was like, oh, better buy that property. Yes. But I think when I shared that, I was a little bit nervous for my audience to be like, you're on a finance club. Shouldn't you have a property by now?
Yes.
But when I shared that, like, you know, this is something I've been putting off and putting off. I actually probably could have bought this years ago, but I didn't actually do the thing because of my own beliefs and mindset around it and blah, blah, blah. I got so many responses from people being like, I'm in exactly the same category. And this is like literally kind of kicked me out. This is the kick up the butt I needed to actually go and do that thing. So I think it's, yeah, I think it's more relatable. And yeah, so hopefully people find it, yeah, helpful as opposed to I'm a multi-millionaire and you can be one too. It's this easy. Cause I'm like, it's not easy. Like, you know, it's so much, you know, as you would be very aware with being good with money is about discipline. It's about behavior. And what's harder in the world than discipline and changing behavior?
Yes. And that's why I like the structure of how you've laid out the book. But, you know, we've got some listeners who may be parents, they could be grandparents, they could be uncles or aunts. You know, they might just have young people in their life that they're wanting to maybe share a resource with or come back with some concepts. So Molly, with your book, when you envision the person picking up this book, who did you have in mind?
That's such a great question. I had this like kind of avatar of this gorgeous girl I worked with at the bank, and she was lovely. And she got a bonus. And I remember her going, I'm going to go spend this on a designer handbag. And I was like, what? No, you don't have property. You don't have investments. She was a friend. So I knew all these things. So I kind of saw it as this girl, let's call her, I'm going to change her name. Let's call her Claire, with a cocktail at a cafe or at a bar. And she's got the book and she's like, right, I need to get my act together with money. Then her girlfriends come and join her and they work through the chapters each. So that was kind of like in my head, or, you know, instead of a book club, it's like a money club. You know, they start their own ladies finance club. They do the same thing, you know, bottle of Prosecco, or non-alcoholic options, a pizza. And they actually make the time and space to talk about these things. And I thought, you know, the book is a perfect guide because people are always like, I don't know where to start. And I'm like, start at the start. And I've laid it out literally. So then, you know, the most important thing is mindset. And then you've got to do the spending, and then you will work out what your goals are. And then you've got to get on top of your retirement. And then, so I've kind of almost, yeah, I guess walking them through all the important things that they need to know, that journey.
Yeah. And so in terms of that avatar with them walking through it, I feel like your book could be, you know, a present for someone's granddaughter. Okay. Yeah. It's very female centric, your book. So we'll say that it's a fantastic one that is there, but obviously it's a gap to fulfill because, you know, women can find themselves behind on average due to various reasons, right? So if you've got, you know, some lovely grandparents listening to this podcast right now, you know, how would they best position this book? I think you don't have to sell this book much. If I received it, I'd be like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. But how would they position that with, you know, giving that as a gift to their granddaughter, for example?
Yeah, I think, again, like, I think it could be something around, like, if you read this book and take action, and not like, I'm not trying to like boost myself like up here, but like it can change your life. It can be the difference between a life that you can control or you know, you can control money or money can control you.
Mm.
And like this book can set you up for a really fun life. Yeah. Because that's what happens when you have control over your money, you have control over your life.
Yeah.
I do think sometimes like any finance book is a hard sell. And I think I have a line where like, I don't know how this book got into your hands. Maybe a family member, passively aggressive, shoved it in and said, you need it. yeah. But I know, like, I speak to a lot of mothers with kind of like daughters who are in their like 18s to 20, early 20s. And they're like, oh, my daughter's so bad with money. I don't know what to do.
Yes.
What should I say to her? And I'm like, give her the book, or be like, hey, and you know, like it starts off with like, can you name the Kardashians, but not how much you spent last week? That's okay. If I heard that, I'd be like, this lady's speaking my language. Okay. So it's kind of, it's not a scary thing. But that's a fantastic question. How would you, I'd say just like this book can change your life.
Yeah, because I can imagine the process of it, right? Because I feel a lot of happiness just picking up your book. It's just a book that is, and I can't describe it. It's just a weird one. I'm just only telling you internally what I feel picking it up, that I have an energy coming off it. And I don't know if that makes me a weird person, but some of us are built that way.
Love energy stuff.
Correct. So we kind of process things in our own way. And you've got here, you've got three rules at the Ladies Finance Club, right? So this is in your book. The first rule of Ladies Finance Club is we do talk about finance. Okay. And already it's starting off really well because you are wanting people to not do this on their own. You kind of recognize that it is more fun, even though we don't like the word accountable, but if we use fun instead of accountable,
we're
able to do it together.
Yeah, that's actually a Fight Club reference as well. I don't pick up on that because some people are like, I didn't pick up on that. I'm like, oh yeah, my audience probably isn't the Fight Club audience.
I know. The first rule of Fight Club is not talk about Fight Club. Yeah, I know. I was like, I was reading it and I had a bit of a chuckle, but it's little nuggets like that, I think, that make it, you know, there's a little bit of a reference that you can get there that is, like I said, it's witty and clever in the way that it's presented. Number two is you're the only one responsible for your money. Okay, we can't rely on rich uncles, inheritances, winning the lotto, or marrying a prince. There are not many single ones left.
I checked. Yeah.
Yeah. So, in terms of you're the only one responsible for your money, has that been a concept that has blown some women away in realizing that that's the case when we've spoken to them?
I think a lot of women who are now we are attracting are coming in on a separation or a divorce. Mm-hmm. And I think they go, yeah, I wish I had have taken a lot more responsibility for my money now. And I wish I had been completely across it. But I think that's the biggest thing. I did a talk the other day and a lady came up to me at the end. She goes, I said something like, you know, we can't wait for a prince to come rescue us. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh my God, I've been waiting for a man to come and marry me and sort this out. And she goes, I'm 44. It hasn't happened. I need to do this. I'm like, yeah, you do. And also no one's going to care as much about your money as you will. But it's just, it's one of those things where women are so busy when they're juggling motherhood, work, all this, the mental load, you know, it's so easy to see how finance just gets pushed aside. And no one ever wants to think worst case scenario, but we see it time and time again. They've just got to be across it.
Yeah, across it, right on board with that. And you said there are no dumb questions. Like me, you probably missed the Money 101 lesson in school because it didn't exist. We have never learned about this before, so be gentle with yourself. That is such an important message because I think we do beat ourselves up already at the start for not knowing enough, for not doing enough.
Yeah, so true. And women are like, oh, I'm so dumb for not knowing this. Oh, I wish I'd gotten onto this closer. And I did this the other day at a talk. I was like, who learned how to play Three Blind Mice on the recorder? And like everyone put their hand up. I said, who learned how to do their tax? No one put their hand up. Mm. I'm like, exactly. And I said, like, for many of us, like, unless we have gone out and looked up the information, or unless our parents taught it to us, a lot of the time they didn't teach us good behaviors. They taught us not the best behaviors when it came to money, because that was their own learnings. Mm. But I said, so for many of us, we've just actually never learned about this. So yeah, exactly. Go easy on yourself and know that it's okay that you're starting, and you might be starting again at 50, at 60. We literally get women in starting again at 50 and 60. And it's like, it's okay. Like, You're here. Great. Now we can get started.
Well, you've shown up now, so there's a way forward. Exactly. And it's awesome. So even with that, like you're starting the book in such a way that is really accommodating to wherever anyone's journey is. And you've started your first chapter with money mindset. Anna Christina in, you know, Kids Ain't Cheap started with money mindset. Natasha Janssens as well, she started off with a bit about money mindset. Yeah. I find as a financial advisor, this part is skipped over a lot of the time. Yeah. Why was it important for you, Molly, to start with this?
I think because I'd been running Ladies Finance Club. I'd started it in 2018. So I've been talking to women about money and going on my own journey for such a long time. And so much of the time when you speak to these women, it's the mindset that's stopping them. It's the beliefs that stops them from taking action. And they can know everything about investing. They can know everything about budgeting. But if there's some beliefs that haven't been addressed, oh, it's because my parents got divorced and they use money as a tool. Like, you know, if they're not addressed, it's really hard to actually, keep and make more in your life. Yeah, it's just something that I just kept seeing and kept seeing. So I was like, right, we've got to like address this at the very start. And also so many people have that scarcity mindset around money because I'm so like, you know, if we've come through school, uni, we had a job, we are broke, broke, but it's hard to then get out of that mindset of, oh, I'm not broke anymore. I'm earning good money. And I see it all the time, even now, like all the time with women. And I'm like, you're not broke. You're earning really good money. Get out of that mindset. And so they've got to do those. They've just got to do a little bit of work. And again, you can change your beliefs and mindset like that. You're the one who gets to decide, but you've just got to do a little bit of work and understanding around it. But what I love is I'm like, all this stuff is actually really simple. You've just got to spend that bit of time dedicated to it to actually work it out.
Yeah, and you've also talked about money personality. Okay. So that's, yes, because I see variations of, you know, with finance books, money mindset may not be spoken about at all, or there's different aspects of money mindset, which is discussed at the start.
Yeah.
And it's really good that you've gone, who do you identify with the most? Because sometimes we're not really aware yet in our journey about, yeah, what are you talking about unblocking these things? Like, I'm not getting it. But when you kind of talk about how real people are and what they might do, it's easier for someone to kind of go, oh yeah, you know, I'm like a Jenna, I'm like a Pip, you know, like you're kind of looking at that way. So when you've talked to money about money personalities to people, what has been the response, Molly?
I think with money personalities, yeah, exactly as you said, it just allows them to go, oh, I don't have any weird beliefs around money. And then it's like, oh, I'm her, I'm Pip, I'm money, like, the money monk one. So it's really, it's just like, again, a nice way to connect with what it is that you are. But as you said, exactly as you said, if you hadn't thought of it in that way, oh, actually, yeah, no, I do that. Oh, yeah, okay, interesting. It just helped make the connections to people.
Yes, and I think this is why I feel like, you know, our clients tell us that they're thinking about their, actually quite often, like they're 22-year-olds to 30-year-olds, for some reason it's that age gap. Like they've kind of come out where they're young adults, they might be working, but they feel like the kids have not really gotten the money foundation or education, right? And I don't know why. I know you said that this is a book that's open to a lot of different women. But in my mind, like I'm picturing that it's this young woman that's in that age bracket.
Yeah.
That's who I'm imagining reading this. And you're speaking to them in their language, you know, like, because I find as parents, it is sometimes difficult talking to your kids or even talking to your grandkids because they feel that there's a gap there. There's a gap there in how we connect and engage. It's not in the language or you're not knowing what's happening in their world. And I think you've crossed over that. You help parents, I think, get over that gap. That's what I've sort of noticed with your book, Molly, is that I'm imagining a young woman reading this, and even that bit that you say, the language we use around money matters, saying, you know, I'm terrible with money. I'm never going to understand investing. Why bother? You can imagine young women saying that.
Yeah. And especially around property as well, like I'm never going to be able to afford a property.
Yeah.
Like, and that your beliefs become your actions and you act in accordance with your beliefs. So if you don't think it's possible, you're going to take zero action. And what I love is when we get women at Ladies Finance Club and they'll be like, look, I'm starting from scratch, but I'm going to buy a property. And then like they just have a small deposit, but they go talk to a mortgage broker. They go work out what schemes are available for. Like they just take action because they have this belief that, you know what, I can do this. I'm going to be really positive about the way I talk about money. And it changes their trajectory.
I'm excited for young women especially to be picking up this book. I am really genuinely just excited by that. And I just, you know, especially if you're listening in and you've got someone in that age bracket. And like Molly says, this book is for more than that, even if you're a parent in that space. It's just a really fun book to engage in to do that as well. And I like about you've also helped people with how they set goals. Because sometimes what I've noticed with your book is that we take for granted that people know how to set goals. Mm-hmm. And we go, oh, you know, the smart way, you know, the smart, they go, smart, you've got to be measurable. It's got to be, you know, it It doesn't sound fun when you do it that way.
I know. I've actually even updated it since then as well. Now I just say dollar amount, details, deadline, the 3D. Yeah. Boom, 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 let's go.
Yeah, and you've got the exercise of working out your net worth, and then also a payslip checklist. I must say, I've not come across a payslip checklist as yet in the finance books that I've been.
No. Payslips are so confusing. I was like, how are people meant to read these? I had to sit down with her. She was a debt counselor, actually. Yeah. We've gone through a lot of payslips. And I was like, talk to me about this payslip. What is going on? What do these things mean? Yeah, so we actually got a real payslip and went through it all.
You know, this is the thing, like, your book makes me also realize that even though I'm someone that tries to be aware of jargon, I'm in a world that is filled with jargon that I forget about. Sometimes you've got to take it really back to this and see when you get your payslip.
Yeah, absolutely. And even just like, you know, we'll run sessions all the time and I'll have this chat with a speaker about jargon. And then they'll get on and be like, so anyway, the ASX was down 5 basis points. And I'm like, whoa, yeah. Slow down. Let's go back. ASX, break it down.
Yeah.
Securities exchange. What's that? It's a marketplace. You buy and sell pieces of companies. Okay. Basis points. What's that? It's a percent. Okay. So it's just like, I'm just like, yeah, okay. We just literally had the chat about jargon. Yeah. But they don't see that as jargon because it's their everyday world.
Yes. Yes. And I must say that. So I think you've made me also reflect on maybe how I communicate, because you forget. And I think, you know, even as a parent reading this, I found different ways to actually talk to the kids about money. And what I've noticed is that, like all my three kids, they're different. And my son, I suppose the eldest gets money concepts very easily. So I feel like I don't have to try as hard, yeah. You know. And my daughter is very compliant. And she's like, mm-hmm. No, mama, you're looking after it. So I'm not going to ask too much.
Yeah.
And maybe the resources I've had before, I feel like I wouldn't have shared it with her. I feel like I would have to adapt it to speak her language. Mm-hmm. But looking at your book, you know, like I know she's going to get it. Like she's 12 years old. Yeah. She's going to get these concepts looking at your book, Molly. Yeah. And that is like, oh man, that's mind blown for me, because I'm like, oh, how do I adapt this material that I have, you know, for her? And you've done it in your book. Brilliant.
Oh, good.
you've also, I like the way that you talked about budget, because we all, the people who don't like the word budget, okay, I find it that it can be kind of quite freeing when if you're across it. I think it's restrictive when you feel like you're not across it. I think maybe that's different. Now you have said here, what's happened in the past has happened, and there's no point beating yourself up over it or having a pity party for one. It's time that you forgive yourself for the past spending frenzies and focus on the new you. Yeah. You know, the budget for the new you, it's legit exciting.
Yeah, I think I was so, first time I actually sat down and did a budget, which I talk about in the book, like I literally cried, but I was so annoyed at myself for wasting so much money. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, you really have to do like this forgiveness piece. Like you're kind of doing the best you could with the knowledge you had at the time, even though I probably could have done a lot better. But I was just like, I could have had a deposit for a house. I could have, you know, like all this stuff. But, you know, you just got to go, okay, well, I'm on the journey now.
Yeah.
Better late than never.
Yes.
And what can we do about it?
It's really important. I think it's whether you're a parent listening in or you're younger, you know, younger woman listening in as well, is that forgiveness piece is so, like, we can't be kind of caught up in that guilt feeling. Yeah. The fact that we're doing this and you're engaging with this podcast and then engaging with the book is that you are already showing yourself a different pathway forward. So that's why I appreciate those things like that in there, because, you know, that speaks to me as well. Even I can go back and go, oh, I wish I had done things differently. Yeah. I'm like responsible for my family, just not, you know, being where they could be. So fantastic. Okay. So now you, in terms of your, the OMG fund,
yes.
Right? Which the Oh My God fund, the emergency fund, number of books talk about this. Yeah. And again, I like the way that you're just relating it to to people who may not maybe have engaged with the concept before, because that message hasn't stuck.
Yeah.
So how would you, I suppose, again, may have a parent, an adult listening to this, and you're bringing that conversation home. You know, they haven't got your book yet, but they will. Yeah. They are going to get your book. How would you bring that conversation home about the importance of the emergency account?
Yeah, so I always say I call it the OMG fund, because if you need to use money in this account, you're normally like, oh my gosh, something really bad has happened and I need money real fast. and I think with, you know, what I try and get across in the book is like, we will all have OMG moments in life because that's just life. Whether it's the car tires breaking, whether it's, for me, it was having to, you know, having the money there so I could fly home to be there for my sister when she went through blood cancer. Whereas a year before I had no money, I wouldn't have been able to do that. Or it would have been a very stressful process. I would have been constantly worrying about money, but I could go there, be present with her and, you know, support her until she was in remission and then head back home. So I always talk about, you know, it's so important to set up this emergency fund. It's the number one foundation. If you read any finance book, they will cover this very early on. It's just that 3 to 6 months worth of expenses in cash sitting there, only to be used for emergencies. And I'm always like, you know, we can get confused with what emergencies are, but it's like, not when your favorite brand comes on sale. It's not shots at the bar at 3 a.m. And then I'm always like, it's not Taylor Swift concerts. I don't know though. That's a tricky one, but no, not the Taylor Swift concerts.
Yes. And so you've got a table in the book that goes, you've got a table in the book that says, this is an emergency. this is not an emergency. And even that, it's just so entertaining to see those points, because you're almost like, I feel like you understand really the mind of the reader, because they've kind of gone like, I suppose, but this could be emergency. And before they've actually gone into that thought, you're like, hey, we're going to talk about.
Keep it in a separate account, because I know what you're like. You're like me. It's too easy to access. You'll spend it.
Oh, you know, and that's, again, very entertaining book. Towards the end of the book as well, now you talk about stages of a relationship, you know, and how to split bills, you know, what happens when you become Facebook official. Like, again, that's something I've not actually seen in books per se that has tackled it that way, in a way that actually is really with the times. Because, you know, like for me, it's been a long time since I dated. Like, I wouldn't know how to. So
you're not missing out, I can assure you.
Thanks, Molly. So that's why, you know, you can think about the gap that when someone is talking to, you know, like a younger person, you can, if you don't have that gap of knowledge, then what you're saying just totally doesn't make sense.
And I think as well, relationships are changing. Like, we're settling down later on in life. We're coming into relationships with more of our own assets. There is like this, women are, you know, we are earning or out earning partners occasionally. So there are these important conversations that need to be had in relationships, which don't seem to be had until it's almost too late.
You know, I was thinking about this as well, like with Sort Your Money Out by Glenn James. I thought that would be really entertaining, I think, to my son, right? Because he'll get the little jokes and he'll think it's funny. And I thought, now that same book, if my daughter read it, I feel like she's not going to be as entertained as much. And it's funny, isn't it? Because you could have, as a parent, you could have your kids with different personalities and what they connect to. And I'm just so glad that I found something that, you know, she will think is cool. She thinks is glamorous. She thinks like, you know, it's speaking to her without speaking down to her. I think that's the thing about it, is that sometimes you can feel like, or really women feel that they don't know enough. And then your book is just like, you know, it just meets you at whatever level you're at without any judgment. So it's absolutely fantastic, Molly. And you've do have a chapter about, you know, what you can do with kids, around education with kids, how to negotiate pay rises as well, which is very important, noting the gender pay gap data.
Big time. Yep.
Yes. So it's not like you're not glossing over anything that is serious. It's just that you're doing it in your way. And that if someone picks up this book, they're going to have a very well-rounded conversation of stuff that they do with themselves and how they can bring in other people and you've even got a topic on divorce. You call it like, is it untying the knot?
Untying the knot. Yes, untying the knot. Yeah, so I actually sat down with our family lawyer I love working with, and we wrote that chapter together. Mm. And even in that chapter, like, it was, you know, there was so many learnings that came out of that. And especially when I'm seeing more and more women, and I'm sure you would see it as well, divorcing, separating, it's, yeah, people just aren't aware because we're never, again, we're not taught it. Like, what is that actual process?
So Molly, you engage with a lot of people because you speak to people, and of course you've got an online community, right? What is the part of your book that has received the biggest kind of reaction from your readers or your fan base?
Yeah, great question. I think people like the simplicity of, like, they like the investing part, but then they also like the, just like the budgeting section, like just the bit, like, you know, coming back to the basics and the OMG fund. People will be like, I've set up my OMG fund. Yeah. And I'll be like, great, love that. Or I need to, you know, I've done the OMG fund. So, and I love how they use the language that's in the book as well. It's a nice way to know that it's, people are actually, implementing what they're learning. But yeah, I always love hearing feedback. So if people do have feedback, please Instagram me and let me know what your thoughts were.
Yeah, so connect up with Molly on Instagram.
Yeah.
I would say that this book is fantastic. Is there an audio book as well? Because I know there's an ebook available.
Yeah, there's an audio book, which I spent, I think, 2.5 days on recording. And I realized that I really struggle saying certain words. So it probably took about 2 hours longer than it should have.
Yeah.
And why did I put this word in the book? I can't say it.
I'm going to have to listen to that because I'm going to see how the experience differs between, like, a lot of the visual elements of the book. That I think I would say that if you get a hard copy of the book, I'm sure your voice is fantastic and you're reading it in a very entertaining manner, but there's a lot of visuals here. You're not doing it justice without looking at the visuals.
Yeah, I think there's visuals that you can download to go with it, but it's a good one to do. I'm an audiobook person. I love an audiobook. So get both. Thanks.
Get both. Yeah. I think when I listened to an audiobook, when they said there were worksheets, you know what it was? They said, now refer to this resource. And I'm in the car. So I'm like, no, after I finish the car journey, I'm probably not going to the resource. I think that's more sort of my comment, that it's very accessible because you've got it in different forms. Yeah. But if you're going to do the audiobook, make sure that you are looking at the downloadable aspects of it, because you'll be missing out on you're not getting the full picture, the full experience of the book. Thank you so much, Molly, for joining us on the Start Well podcast. And listeners, remember, connect up to Molly. She wants to hear your feedback.
Yes, please do. Oh, thank you so much for having me.
In the spirit of reconciliation, I acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connection to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Start Well and Investing in the Financial Empowerment of Young People. Please refer to the show notes for resources and links discussed in this episode. Subscribe now to get notified of the latest episodes as they drop weekly. And visit us on the Wealth Designers Start Well page for further resources to continue your knowledge journey.